All right, Genesis chapter 16, the title of the message this morning is When People Play God. When people play God. Sometimes people get ahead of God and try and help God out and try and do what God has said He'll do, and that's always a mistake. And that's what Abraham and his wife did, and so we're going to look at that this morning in Genesis chapter 16. Of course, you'll remember in chapter 15 from last week that Abraham believed God and he counted it to him for righteousness. And so last week was that great moment of faith that Abraham had where he believed God, and that's talked about in the New Testament as well as an example for us in how we get saved by believing in God, by believing in Jesus Christ. And justified by faith. And so Abraham had that great moment of faith, and now he comes to chapter 16, and he has a great moment of doubt. So Abraham's just like us. He has faith, and then he has doubt. And so that happens all through his life. That happens throughout the Christian life as well. And so when people play God, and we're going to read verse 1, and then we'll pray. The Bible says, Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray now that you forgive me for my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray for those who are sick. I pray for my wife. I pray that you would give her comfort and healing. And I do pray for all those here. And I pray that you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit and help us to receive your word today. I pray for the children's church, and I pray for anyone who's not saved, that you'll convict them and that they'll trust you as Savior today and be saved by your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name, the name above every name. Amen. When people play God. So the Bible says, Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. So you remember that God had promised Abraham and his wife that they would have a child. And this child would be the beginning of a great nation, and that God would greatly bless him, and he would multiply his seed as the stars of the sky. And so Abraham had not had this child, and they'd been in the promised land for a while. And yet Sarah still had not bore a child. And so they came up with an idea. Actually, Sarai came up with the idea. The Bible says she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Now, she probably got this handmaid when they went to Egypt. You remember when Abraham went to Egypt while there was a famine? And he lied and said that Sarai was his sister rather than his wife. She actually was his half-sister, which sounds really redneck. But at any rate, that was legal at that time for people to marry there. And it was normal, apparently, for people to marry relatives, close relatives. And so he was married to his half-sister. So he lied and said, well, she's my sister. And he didn't tell the Egyptians that she was his wife. Apparently, she was very good looking, the Bible says, and Abraham was afraid that they'd kill him if he told them that she was his wife. So he said, she's my sister. So Pharaoh wanted her to come be part of his harem or whatever they had. And so Pharaoh paid him very dearly for her. And so Abram ran a little bit of a scam there, and he got a bunch of stuff from Egypt. And when he finally had to tell the truth after God plagued Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh said, why didn't you just tell me she was your wife and this wouldn't have happened? But when he finally told the truth, the Bible does not say that he gave anything back. So Pharaoh had paid him all this stuff for his sister to have her, and then when he couldn't have her, the Bible never says Abram gave anything back. So he probably left Egypt with a bunch of stuff, and possibly including this Egyptian maid named Hagar. And so the Bible says in verse 2, "And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai." So Abram's wife came up with a scheme. God promised us children. He hasn't given us any. Maybe God's not going to give us any children. Maybe he's going to give us children through this maid that he gave us in Egypt. And this Egyptian maid. And at that time, they could do arrangements like this. So her maid was her property. And therefore, if the maid had a child by Abraham, by Abram, then the child would be their child. It wouldn't be the maid's child. So they could do that legally at that time, a surrogate mother type arrangement. And so that's what they did. The Bible says Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. So already God's made a promise to Abraham. He's going to have a child. They didn't have a child quick enough, so they decided to take matters into their own hands and play God and work it out themselves. And so they've decided to work it out this way. The Bible tells us that Abram listened to his wife, and this was bad advice from his wife. It's generally a good idea to listen to your wife, men, but not always. She tells you to do something that's against the Bible, against the Word of God, you really shouldn't listen to her. But that's what he did. And I would preach that the opposite way, but fortunately the Bible only says here that he hearkened to the voice of his wife. So I don't have to preach that the opposite way. You should always listen to your husband, women. And my wife's not even here, so I can say whatever I want.
Not really. I'll be videoing this.
No, I... But, all right, let's move on. And so verse 3, "And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife." Now, you see here, they had been in the promised land for 10 years, and God had promised him a son, and it hadn't happened. So 10 years is long enough, right? They'd been in the promised land for 10 years, and God's promise had not come true. And so they decided to take matters into their own hands and play God. "And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes." So you see what happens here is that they tried to play God and it messed things up. They had an arrangement where Hagar was the servant, and now that she's had Abram's child, she's not a good servant anymore. She now despises her mistress. She looks down on Sarai. So it doesn't work out the way they thought it was going to work out. The way they thought it was going to work out, I should say, is that we can't have children. Here's this Egyptian maid that we got while we were in Egypt. Let's have a child by her, and it'll be our child, and everything will be fine, and God's promise will be worked out. And instead, when they played God, it messed things up. It didn't work out the way they planned. Now, a lot of people, myself included, and probably everybody here, has at some point in time in their lives tried to play God and tried to work things out around the Word of God. And when you try and go around the Bible and try and do things your own way, it never works out well. Never works out well.
Amen.
And we'll see next week. We have conference tonight, but we'll see next week how God took this and did something good with it. But it's also, we'll see next week how this has led to a lot of problems, what happened here, for generations, still to this day. It leads to problems. And so we'll talk about all that next week. But the thing to understand is that Abraham and Sarai tried to play God, and it didn't work out well. For some reason, I don't know, maybe because he's God, God understands a lot more about life than we do. And his advice, what he tells us to do, his commandments, are always safer than what we decide to do that goes against those commandments. And so the best thing for us to do is to read and study and obey the Word of God and not try to take things into our own hands, even if there's a long delay. Even if there's a long delay, because a lot of times we'll think God's going to do something and then it takes years and years and years and years and years and you can get off track. I've got this person I went to college with that I'm friends with on Facebook. Facebook friendships are unique because you're not really friends with them. You just see them on Facebook. And so, now I went to college with her, but for years she's been stuck in a job that she hated, and she's been praying for God to open her up a job. And she waited and waited and waited on God. She didn't do anything rash. She just stayed in that place. And finally, now she's got the job of her dreams. And it's just fantastic. She every day she rejoices about this wonderful job that she has now that she had prayed for years. But it took time. And that's the way things happen, is that we desire for God to work quickly, but God desires to work thoroughly. And a lot of times we think that God should do something immediately. And that's what Abraham and Sarah thought. They were in the promised land. They'd finally obeyed God, gone to the promised land. And they thought, well, now that we're in the promised land and we've obeyed God, then God's going to give us a child. And 10 years, no child. And so they decided to play God and work things out for themselves. And it didn't turn out well. And so it won't turn out well for us either. And so the important thing is read the Bible, obey the Bible, and follow the Word of God despite what you think. Despite the fact that you think that you know more about life than God does and your life, and you know that it would work better if you did so and so, it will not work out better. Obey the Word of God. And it always works out better, even if it takes 10 years. Right. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And before we do, let me say, if you're here and you're trying to work out salvation for yourself, maybe you're trying to figure out how to be saved and you've been adding things to salvation. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning quite a bit. Maybe you've been saying, well, I can get saved by doing these works and adding these works to salvation, or I can stay saved by doing these works, and you're trying to get there, then you'll never be saved until you quit trying and start trusting in Jesus Christ. Because he did it all. The work he did on the cross of Calvary completely paid for sins. He's done everything necessary for salvation. You must simply believe. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so believe on him today and be saved. Don't try and work it out. Don't try and play God. God is better at being God than we are. And so let God be God. He's done everything necessary for salvation. There's no need for you to intrude onto God's territory. God is the one that saves, and we are the one that receives salvation. We don't participate in our salvation by trying to get saved. Quit trying and start trusting Christ today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you that we don't have to be God, that you are God, that you have done everything necessary for our salvation, that you have a wonderful plan for our lives, and that though that plan may take a long time, that you are working all things together for our good. And we do thank you for Abram's life and the lessons we can learn from his life and the life of Sarai, and the fact that these folks, though they were people of faith, that they made mistakes. And we do pray that you will just help us to follow you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now we will sing a verse of Amazing Grace. If you need to come to the altar.